Yeah, good morning, everyone, and I'm happy to present the second quarter figures from Telenor in 2006. The number of subscribers in the Telenor operations are constantly growing. In this quarter, we have added another 6.2 million new subscribers compared to 5.4 million in the first quarter this year. The 100 million mark are the subscribers in the Telenor systems in which Telenor is participating is now closing in. For the first time, it is Grameenphone in Bangladesh that contributes the strongest to this growth by adding 2 million new subscribers in second quarter. Telenor Pakistan, dtac, and Kyivstar contribute strongly to this growth. The customer growth in previous quarters as well as this quarter contributes to the underlying growth factor of 12%, whereas the reported growth is 37%, being additionally driven by the acquisitions in Sweden and Thailand beginning of this year and in fourth quarter respectively. At the same time as the top line growth grows at this level, the EBITDA margin improves from 34% to 35%. This combined with the CapEx level being in line with guidance gives a strong buildup in the operational cash flow in the group this first half year. The market in Bangladesh has been very responsive this quarter. Grameenphone has been able to attract new subscribers at a record level without a significant dilution of ARPU. The loyalty program awarding existing customers and usage has at the same time reduced the churn in visible numbers, down from 15% to 12%. The overall performance of Grameenphone in this quarter is very satisfactory, despite a slight increase in sales and acquisition costs per subscribers, with the consequence of the EBITDA margin being reduced to 49% from adjusted 55% in Q1. Penetration is now estimated to 13% in Bangladesh. dtac is facing a more challenging market in second quarter than in first quarter. The price pressure in the Thai market has been very high this quarter. In lack of an interconnect system, combined with the new price offerings from competitors, driving incoming minutes upwards without any revenue attached, dtac suffers both on revenues as well as has to increase CapEx in order to handle the increased traffic. However, we now see a process through the regulator that an interconnect system should be implemented, thus reducing this negative impact for dtac in the future. We must, however, work at finding a better balance between being aggressive in the market and the financial consequences of this. Digi is moving steadily ahead with solid growth in revenues, slightly strengthened market share, and improved operational cash flows. Digi has revised its guidance upwards and established a dividend policy on top of the special dividends already declared, on which Telenor will receive 1.1 billion Norwegian crowns. The growth in number of mobile users in Pakistan is very strong. Telenor Pakistan has managed to capture its fair share of this growth in second quarter, despite the problems experienced in first quarter. Penetration has passed 20%. We are now rebranded, and this has helped us in market awareness. The network quality is now improving, and we anticipate to benefit from this longer term. It is somewhat disappointing that the authorities decided to maintain the activation tax for new SIM cards of approximately $8 for each new subscriber, thus bringing sales and acquisition costs up. However, we maintain our guidance of break-even early 2007. Kyivstar is building upon the strong performance in first quarter. Economies of scale related to a customer base of more than 16 million customers are now really coming through. With a fairly stable price position and increased usage in the market, ARPU has increased 10% from Q1. At the same time, Kyivstar is maintaining its market leadership by adding new subscribers at the same level as in third quarter. The improvement in operational cash flow in first half year is as much as 1.5 billion Norwegian crowns. We do, however, expect higher capex in the second half. In Norway, during the last quarter, we have enjoyed the benefits of the repackaging of our services into more emphasis on contracted customers, now having reached 58% of the customer stock. This has led to a slight decrease in the prepaid, taking the overall market share down to 55%. This requires us to increase our efforts in the second half. The cash flow for the first half year is, however, increasing significantly due to lower churn and lower capex. The capex to sales ratio for this quarter of 4% will, however, increase somewhat in second half. For fixed in Norway, we see in this quarter visible effects of our efforts of cost reductions. The revenue decline of 3.3% is within expected limits. And with the achieved cost reductions, the margin in second quarter is back to 36%. This happens at the same time as we are doing reasonably well in customer connections for broadband as well as voice over IP. The underlying picture adjusted for the outsourcing of the contracted business is a revenue decline of 3.3% over the first half year. This is within the expectations as stated at the Capital Markets Day of 4-5% revenue pressure. Traditional telephony services being reduced and the broadband growing. The cost efficiency measures now become visible by taking the operational expenses down. Product and information systems and operations being the main contributors. We now estimate that we are halfway through with the target of 1.5 billion of costs of gross cost reductions during 2007 compared to 2004. The combined effect of fixed and mobile in Norway is so that the operational cash flow in this half year represents almost 1 billion Norwegian crowns of improvements compared to first half 2005, mainly due to more efficient operations and lower capex. Telenor Broadcast has a strong quarter on most parameters in this second quarter 2006. Revenues grow by 12% and market position is strengthened. In addition, Telenor Broadcom has entered into an important long-term contract in respect of the new digital transmission system to be built in Norway over the next 3 years. Telenor Broadcom will build and operate the DTT network. This will require capex in the range of 1 billion Norwegian crowns, up against a 15-year contract with annual revenues of approximately 250 million after launch. Similarly, the analog system will be shut down by 2009, leaving out present revenue stream of approximately 100 million Norwegian gradually. In addition, Telenor Broadcast has the ambition of delivering the conditional access system as well as the subscriber management operation for the premium services at this platform. And with this presentation, I'm through with the overall figures of the business areas of Telenor, and I'll leave the floor to our CFO, Trond Westin.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
I will now guide you through the financials for yet another good quarter for Telenor. The last 12 months earnings per share was 5.8 number. It's of course massage. But it's the tax effect of that, that it less on. I've just some excuses for that. Hopefully it works now. So we'll start again. Last 12 months earnings per share where is 5.82 kroner. Comprised in that is of course the sale of the Inmarsat shares of 1.8 billion Norwegian kroners. Depending on effects on the tax calculation on that, it's a bit less than 1 kroner a share into this number. The second quarter number was for earnings per share is 1.35 kroner. Going to the reported profit and loss statement, I'll refer all the numbers to the second quarter of 2005, and we see on the revenue side, we see a good growth with more than 6 billion Norwegian kroners to 22.580 billion. We also see good growth in the EBITDA numbers with 2.3 billion up to almost 8 billion Norwegian kroners. And the earnings before interest and tax is increasing with 1.44 billion to almost 4.3 billion Norwegian kroners. The net income in the quarter is 2.283 billion. That is the earnings, that gives the earnings per share of 1.35 kroner. As Fredrik has previously mentioned, it is a good growth in the on the revenue side, both reported and underlying. The reported growth is 37%. But if you look at the growth in the EBITDA number, it's actually 41%. And looking at the growth in the EBIT number, it's actually 50%. So it's definitely a very good quarter for Telenor. If we go to the revenue development, it's been a growth of more than 6 billion Norwegian kroner since the second quarter of 2005. The main contributors here is the acquired entities that we acquired late 2005 with DTAC and Swedish Mobile. But it's also a good growth in both Keystar, DG, Grameen, and Mobile Norway. And if we divide the 36% up in what is acquired growth and what is existing growth, it's actually approximately 23% of the 36%. So that gives us
approximately a bit more than 60% growth is acquired growth in the revenue increase. There has been some focus in the financial markets about the negative forex exchange impact in the second quarter for Telenor. Since the first quarter, the Norwegian krona has appreciated against all the currencies in our portfolio. If you look at the table to the right, on the right column, you see the effects going into the second quarter, and you see that all of the currencies is actually appreciated against the Norwegian krona. According to our analysis, the historic correlation in the basket of currencies that we have in the portfolio show an approximately 33% self-hedging effect over a historic period of time. So basically, it's a bit unusual that we actually see that all the currencies is moving in the same direction in the same quarter. But the effects of this, when it comes to the numbers in the second quarter, is that it reduces the revenue number with approximately 3% or 600 million kroner on the revenue side, and it decreases the EBITDA number with approximately 3%, approximately then 250 million Norwegian kroner. On the development on the EBITDA number, it's from second quarter, it's in 2005, it's a growth of 2.3 billion Norwegian kroner. Comprised then, or the main drivers here is DTAC and Chiefstar. The components here on the acquired growth, which actually is only on the EBITDA level, the acquired growth is only 40%, and the existing companies then comprised of 60%. The DTAC and the Mobile Sweden is the main driver on the acquired growth, and the existing companies, of course, is dominated by Chiefstar, but closely followed by Mobile Norway, Digi, and Grameenphone. On the table to the right on the slide, you see that the nominal EBITDA growth from the first quarter of 2005 has a steady growth from 5.1 billion to almost 8 billion in these six quarters. It's a very good growth, and you also see that the EBITDA margin development in the graph, and you see that from the first quarter of 2006 it decreases about 1%, and the major reason for that is the margin reduction from the first quarter to the second quarter in Grameenphone. CapEx, the first half year in Telenor, we've spent 8.1 billion Norwegian kroners in the first 6 months, and the major uses in this CapEx is the international mobile companies. You see that Qstar is having 20% of this, DTAC 14, Pakistan 14, and Grameenphone is having 11%. In this pie, you also see that fixed has come up on a 16% level. And the increase in that is due to the acquisitions we had in the last part of 2005 in broadband in Denmark and Sweden. In second quarter, the CapEx is 4.4 billion, and we have come up to a CapEx to sales ratio of 20% in the quarter. The increase in net debt during the second quarter was 3.2 billion, going from 35 billion Norwegian kroners to 38.2 billion Norwegian kroners. The usage has been the CapEx of 4.5 billion and dividend and buyback of 4 billion. The dividend declared was 3.4 billion. But it's some withholding taxes of 200 million that has not been paid until the third quarter. So that is 3.2 out of the 4 billion. And then we have the agreement with the Norwegian government on the buyback, on the proportionate buyback, which is 800 million. That transaction has not been paid, but as a result of the General Assembly, it was recorded as interest-bearing debt after the General Assembly. And there, and then you have, we have the 800 million in the as part of the 4 billion in the buyback. The 800 million of acquisitions during the quarter is mainly taken from EDB Business Partner acquisitions of short of 600 million. Then we have the net interest paid of 700 million and taxes paid of 500 million. And then we have the other of other changes of 600 million. And the main contributor there is our insurance captive that has done investments for approximately 500 million Norwegian kroner. That leaves the net debt at the second quarter of 38.2 billion. Going to the outlook, the outlook is unchanged from what we stated after the first quarter as well as the Capital Markets Day. I'm not going to read you the whole statement, I'm just going to refer to our report. And the main issues is that we see revenue growth of around 30%. We see an EBITDA margin of above 34%. And we see a capex to sales ratio of about 20%. And that concludes my short guiding on the financials for the second quarter. So I leave the word again to Dag Melgaard.
Thank you, Trond. And then we are ready for our question and answer session. So I invite Mr. Boxos back on the floor. We also have present the head of our Nordic operations, Morten Carlsen Sørby, and the head of the Telenor Broadcast, Stig Eide Sivertsen, in the audience. And I ask you please, when we start the Q&A session with you in the audience here, in the auditorium, to please wait for a microphone, just out of courtesy to those listening on the phone and watching us on the internet. So, we are ready, I think, to take your questions. Maybe we should warm up with one we have got from the internet viewer, Mantip Nippon from Kinang Securities, about the Thai market. What is Telenor's strategy on the Thai market? Are we going to unlist Ucom? And what is the strategy?
If we think first on the operational dimension around the Thai market, we were in first quarter very successful on building up market share for DTAC in that quarter. The response from competitors on that success was to use primarily the price mechanism in the new service offerings that has been shown to the market. And with the interconnect system, which is sort of not in place in Thailand, DTAC suffers from the fact that with a huge number of incoming calls, with no revenues attached, there is only sort of expenses related to receiving those type of calls. And this, again, takes up the capex level. So we have to find a better balance on the means that we are putting into the marketplace up against the financial consequences, as I said during my presentation. When it comes to the listing, we have the ambitions that DTAC is going to be listed in Thailand also in the future, or directly or indirectly, whereas the indirect is through Ucom. Whereas sort of the details on that is not yet fully worked out.
Okay. Any questions from the audience? doesn't seem so. So then I think we invite the call conference host to introduce the questions via the phone.
The me. Oh, hey, it's James Rivett here. Sounds like I'm in a bar. I just got two questions, if I can. The first is on the Norwegian mobile business. It's a great revenue quarter and EBITDA performance. Can you just tell us what the negative impact of the TDS and Aerochest acquisition was from your revenues this quarter and from your EBITDA, just the exact numbers? And secondly, an old but boring question. You've yet again outperformed your guidance for the full year. What is it, apart from what you talked about in the Norwegian mobile business, that is making you feel so more relatively cautious about the second half? Thanks very much.
As to the first part, I'm not really sure whether I'm off the top of my head can answer that question directly, but maybe some of my colleagues will prepare the figure. 40 million Norwegian kroner is sort of the on Q1. So the answer to your question is then a direct negative impact for the first quarter was 40 million because of Chess customers previously on Telenor network being transferred to Telenor network. As to your second question, here, Trond, you may fill me in, but there are competitive situations out there that we really want to participate in when it comes to sort of secure the market positions of our operations in the future. And that leads us to have the guidance that we have in place for the time being.
Well, I think that covers mostly the things, but we do see that we have some, if you compare it with the first quarter, we see some slight negative trends, not major negative trends, but flat or negative trends on some market positions in certain countries. We see the challenge in Thailand, and we also see a cost element in Pakistan. We see the effects of being successful in Norway. We also see that there has to be some market spending, and I know I mentioned that in the first quarter, but that hasn't come through yet in full in the second quarter. So that combined with some, even though I showed you that the effect on the currency effect wasn't that great, but it is still an impact. So all in all, I do think that's part of the cautiousness, as you might say. But we felt that it's correctly now how we see the full year to stay on the guiding that we've given you as a result of how we see the trends in the second half.
Okay. Thank you. Can I follow up on my first question? So what was the impact in the second quarter? How much revenue from Chess Sense do you still have in your business, and when should we expect that to disappear? Thanks.
Maybe we have a slight misunderstanding here. That means my answer was sort of the opposite then. Erling is trying to sort of guide me on this. Maybe it's better that Erling takes that on the plane.
Okay. Perfect. 40
million now, and 40 million in the quarter.
So there is 40 million on both elements. Aha. Sorry for my misunderstanding.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Next,
Mr. Hadley,
and then please.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was hoping you could give a bit more detail on some of the trends in Naked DSL in the Norwegian fixed business. Clearly, the access trends for the traditional lines are very weak. What proportion of your retail DSL customers are now purely Naked DSL? And do you have a feel for the same statistics within the wholesale and LLU segments as well?
Well, the trend of that isn't specifically changed since last quarter. The exact figure on that is 25% in second quarter. So I'm being I'm being sort of helped on that figure in the room, as you can see. So, I mean, we are in fact reasonably satisfied with the development in the DSL market in Norway in second quarter. We have managed to maintain our market share on connections as such. We have had some challenges on deliverables because of sort of some bottlenecks in the physical works around the installations. Because of a strike situation, but that has sort of an overall impact on the whole market, not necessarily only one part of the market. So, and we are also reasonably satisfied with the fact that we have been able to step up the voice over IP portion, so that our position on voice over IP is improving through this quarter as well.
Okay, next caller, please.
And next
caller,
please.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. It's Juan Jimenez, Morgan Stanley here. The first one is on the fixed line. I think that, you know, looking at the revenue trends, they continue to be under a lot of pressure. You have some accelerating of declining trend as well in PSD and ISDN. You seem to be having more losses. However, your margins remain very, very solid. I was just wondering what exactly happened in the second quarter, if you can give some guidance on, you know, probably number of employees that left the company or whatever cost, what other cost reduction measures you're taking that are actually increasing sequentially the margin in fixed line. And my second question is, please, would you mind giving us an update on the situation in Russia and Ukraine with Alpha? Thank you very much.
As for the development, in fact, in fixed, the revenue pressure coming from the fact that traditional telephony services are being migrated to either mobile and voice over IP is a sort of in within the brackets that we have stated for the year. So we tried to do present during our presentation here, 3.3% is the figure for the first half year. And that is a combination then of a downward pressure on traditional telephony services and, of course, a growth element in on the broadband side. As for the cost reductions, we have visible elements of this in the cost structure this quarter, in particular related to the downsizing that we did execute towards the end of the year. If you remember towards last year, we had a downsizing program going on in the autumn, with the full effect coming into the figures being all visible this quarter, both in respect of the product side of the operation as well as the information, the IS side of the operation. And this is important steps for us because it also paves the ground for the next reductions to be done. And to be formed a part of the remaining part of the targeted 1.5 billion Norwegian crowns reductions within 2007. As to your the second part of your question, an update on Russia and Ukraine, there isn't that much news to tell compared to what sort of is already out there. It was important for us that we got a new statement from the court in Ukraine, in Kyiv, sort of stating that the existing charter of Kyivstar is valid. That was an important step for us. The new board in Infocom is now in operation, and we look forward to sort of deal with these two fantastic companies in the future, as well as we've done in the past, and contribute to those two operations growth, of course, as we so very visibly do in Ukraine, where Kyivstar is really sort of setting its market leadership also for this quarter very solidly.
Thank you very much.
Next is the
Blue Stone. Hello, this is Blue Stone. Two fairly quick questions. First of all, the Ukrainian margins were up both Q-on-Q and year-on-year. And I was just wondering, could you talk a little bit about how sustainable do you see that that higher level of margin? And secondly, at the Capital Markets Day, you talked about how you still have to identify some of the cost savings in domestic fixed line. And I was just wondering, have you identified those cost savings now? Thanks.
As for the margin in Ukraine, I mean, both first quarter and second quarter are two very good quarters for Kyivstar. And also remember that this happens at the same time as Kyivstar is sort of also setting its grip on the market leadership position. And the Ukrainian market is, of course, has the mix of two main operators competing head-to-head up against two smaller operators who sort of comes from a complete different situation. And that means that the two big ones really, in a way, has a very good position. And we intend to take care of that position and work as we've done with Kyivstar also in the future. And that will probably also lead to that there will be some development in the margin. We have to expect that in the competitive environment that we will see into the future here. From our point of view, we will of course work at a reasonable balance between the market share ambitions and the margin as such. But we have to be also be prepared that the development in the market might take the margin down longer term. As to the cost savings, we're working constantly on sort of filling in the gap of the savings that we've targeted for 2007, and we feel that we are well on the way sort of reaching at those measures in order to reach the target of 1.5 billion by the end of 2007.
Thank you very much.
Next is the audience.
Good morning, everyone. Just one question on Digi. Any update on the development of your intention about your future stake of Digi? I guess by the end of December, you will have to reduce it. Any development on that one, and any development on your 3G strategy in Malaysia as well?
The ownership question has sort of this the time frame of this year in itself. We're working on discussions with the authorities on that issue, and we're at good hope sort of being able to maintain the majority of Digi also into 2007. As for the 3G strategy, we have no sort of revised statements on that score. We're using the edge facility to the full extent, and for the time being, Digi is very competitive in the local marketplace in that respect.
Sorry, can I have a follow-up question? Given the acquisition scale is probably reduced in Julian and Gadgetship, would you be ready to look at acquiring something in Malaysia to get this 3G license?
Whether a 3G license will be sort of part of our future picture or a MVNO type of arrangement into the future, that is an open question. So I have no further statement of that question to give today.
Okay, thank you.
Next is
Andrew O'Neill from Bernstein. Hi, it's Andrew O'Neill from Bernstein here.
question really on Pakistan. You've seen the penetration rate accelerate very rapidly in that market. So I guess the first question is, you've got targets for about 45% penetration in the market by 2009. It looks like we're probably running ahead of that. Do you agree with that? And then secondly, this does put some challenges around, I guess, investing into your market position and your subscriber share, as things are moving pretty rapidly. It seems to us like your subscriber share is perhaps not coming up as quickly as you might like. So is that the way that you see things in Pakistan, and what are your plans there?
You might be right in the penetration part of your question, whether it will be 45 or above. As we see in all markets here, that is that penetration climbs faster in every market that sort of reaches the steepest part of the growth curve in these days than what was the case, say, 5 to 6 years ago. So you might be right in that. When it comes to our own subscriber share, we share your concern. We have, though, after the rebranding took place in the middle of this quarter, experienced sort of a better position under the new graphical presentation of Telenor in the local marketplace. And we're very glad that seems to have sort of a positive impact for us. But we haven't taken the leap forward compared to, for example, the other newcomer, which came to the marketplace at the same time as we did, even though we put strong faith in the fact that we believe we have a better network longer term, and that will improve the statistics on the subscriber pickup longer term as well for Telenor and Pakistan.
Is that just a follow-up question? Do you attribute your performance versus worry to be about your network coverage still, or is it on the distribution side, or a combination of the two?
We consider ourselves not being disadvantaged on the network quality and network coverage anymore. We believe that we sort of have that under control. We could have wished for sort of a greater footprint, but we're working on that, of course. And then you're back to the distribution one of the main factors having an impact on us in the quarters to come.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Kenshin Rochabon, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. I just have two quick questions on that. First is, if you could, focusing again on the fixed line side, on slide 15, you've highlighted how your cost has developed over the course of the year. I was wondering if you could identify somewhere within this chart what the impact of a lower headcount is. And related to that, I was wondering if you could please provide us an update on the strike position at present. And the second question is on Bangladesh. Could you just give us some more color whether you think the current acceleration in penetration is sustainable going into this year and next? And finally, the question on any update on one and any update on the discussions of divestiture of the asset or taking control of the asset would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, let's start with the fixed. As to the headcount reduction, that goes primarily into the product and IS column of the chart. On the operation side, it's more on the server capacity is bought from as a supply from EDB business partners, which constitutes the reduction. On the strike position, we don't have a strike within the Telenor companies for the time being, but one of our suppliers on the contractor side, Relacom, is in its fifth week of the strike with approximately one-third of their manning.
and this has the potential of being stepped up during this weekend, beginning coming Monday. We hope then that sort of the discussions that will probably also go on between the parties through the weekend might sort of give some solution to this early next week. In Bangladesh, the current development is fantastic. I mean, Bangladesh has really reached a stage where when you put new measures into the marketplace, you get an immediate response. So I think that the Grameenphone is in a fantastic position where they really can sort of put themselves sort of in front of the market development the way they have done over the last quarters. Whether we can expect sort of a regular development of the penetration build-up every quarter as we've seen this quarter, that I doubt to a certain extent. But I think that there will be sort of good customer figures coming from Grameenphone also in the quarters to come. And with sort of a an acceptable dilution of ARPU going with it, we've seen sort of this good performance this quarter. As to Austria, maybe Tom, you will give a comment on one.
Well, as usual, I'm going to give the negative comments. As a result, that it's whether it's a process or whether it's not a process, as long as it's not any public information on those kind of issues, we don't comment on it.
Then we've got the comment from Sean that we don't comment. So shall we take next question?
Thank you.
Next one, Mr. Sierra in Redland.
Hello, it's Laurent Sierra from Redland Partners in London. I have a couple of questions. The first one is in Sweden we have seen a quite improvement of the ARPU, and I wanted to know where do you see that going forward. I have also another question on your financial expenses. Apart from currency translation, where do you see the net financial going on? Will that be maintained at the same level or slightly decreased? Thank you.
Yeah, if I then take the first part and from the second part here. As for the ARPU development in Sweden, I think to a certain extent we see the same effects in the Swedish market as we see in the other Scandinavian markets, that fixed mobile migration is going on. Telenor Mobile Sweden is able to, after the rebranding, to sort of capture its fair share of this market growth, and we have the ambitions, of course, to even have an impact stronger than that going forward. So I think that you, in a way, can use the same parameters on how to view the Swedish market as we do in Norway and Denmark, generally speaking.
Going to the financial items, on the financial income and expenses, the net effect of that, yes, I do think that you will see that maintaining over a period of time as the new layer as a result of the acquisitions we've done. Coming to the currency gains or losses, as well as the change in fair value of financial instruments, you should probably look at those lines together because it's basically the accounting treatment of the economic hedge without the hedge accounting. How that is moving is basically relative to the currency changes as we see, as well as the development of the market, so that's difficult to foresee how those two lines are developing. But in general, when it comes to the financial income and expenses, yes, that's a level we want to see forward.
Thank you.
Next
question,
Nielsen and Chevrolet.
And if you talk about ARPU,
a decline on the sales. Is it possible to, on the subscriptions, is it possible to quantify that, please? And further, if I may ask you, you've kind of given some outlook guidance for the fixed line business revenues. Given this rate of decline we are seeing at the moment, and we do expect, is it possible to maintain the margin in the fixed business in Norway at roughly the same level? And if I may just finish off by a follow-up question, are we to take your comment that the your negotiations with the Alpha Group are sort of on hold at the moment, and that there's neither party particularly pressing for this to continue? I mean about the shootout and the Blue and all that. Thank you.
Quantification of ARPU dilution. I think I have to refer that to sort of a telephone conversation with Erling and his staff later. As to the margin on fixed, I sort of within the foreseeable future, say a couple of years, I think it should be possible to sort of maintain a margin level of 35%, which have been our sort of stated target. We have been below, now we're a little bit above. So, of course, we have the ambition of sort of staying on that level going forward. On the other side, you can sort of raise the question that, will this revenue pressure go on forever? Or where will it get a change? In the 2010 perspective, when we're looking sort of an all IP network, what kind of level do these existing and known old services will, how will they, what kind of portion will they at that point of time be of the revenue side? And we've given some indication from that in the capital market space material. So I think that sort of as things stand today, and looking a couple of years ahead, we have the ambition of sort of targeting this margin level going forward. As to your last question, is it fair that we discuss? Well, there is frequently, not so frequent, there is contact with ourselves and the Alpha team, but we also see sort of certain surprises where sort of a new court case is being brought forward, as we saw some weeks ago in Ukraine. So I still sort of anticipate a little bit of that as well, at the same time as there being contact on other arenas.
Thank you.
Next, UBS.
Hello, it's Arthur, UBS. Two questions, one is a follow-up. First one is, with regards to the strike you did experience in the second quarter, could you outline what the financial impact on your fixed business actually was? In particular, I'm looking at the cost side, where the cost levels associated with the strike. Second, with regard to the interconnect situation in Thailand that you commented upon earlier, is there any visibility into the timeline incremental to the statement you've made at the Capital Markets Day? Thank you very much.
I didn't get the dimension of your last question. Could you repeat that?
Sure. In Thailand, the interconnect issue.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering whether there's additional information on the timeline of the changes beyond what you've said at the Capital Markets Day. Thank you.
I got it. The financial impact of the strike is fairly minimal, but the perception of us not being able to deliver some services to specific customers is sort of a dimension, but it hasn't been a financial expression as such in the quarter. In Thailand, the time frame, if there is something new compared to what we said during the Capital Markets Day, is that we're in a way at least following that time frame. So we haven't seen some cracks in that timeline yet, and that is at least sort of the good news knowing that things take time in that environment.
Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, it's Steve Martin, Maris. It's just a question on the balance sheet. I guess you must have been very disappointed not to win the Egyptian license for the price it went. I guess the next one on the block is Serbia. You mentioned three at your capital markets day, Egypt, Serbia, and Vietnam. I mean, should we expect an update on your buyback program post-Serbia if you weren't to win it? I know you're probably not considering that at the moment. Or does the balance sheet need to be sort of held in check ahead of any resolution on the Russian situation? Thank you very much.
You certainly sort of wrapped it all in. you touched upon a number of important parameters. Well, in Egypt, the price tag of the third license in Egypt certainly reached sort of heights where we were not participating. And in a way, what was the phrase of your question? It was something that, were you glad not getting it at that level? I think I can agree to that. We didn't have that deep pockets. On the other hand, the Egyptian market will probably have these growth elements that Telenor has been good at handling in other markets. So from that point of view, we feel ourselves that we have something to offer. But anyway, in history, there is another transaction possibility this summer in Serbia. We have so far been looking at that business opportunity. And of course, having already Hungary and Montenegro in the region, a Telenor footprint in the Balkan area could easily, in a way, also include a Serbian operation. And when we're looking at such an opportunity, we're using sort of the same calculations and the same approach that we've had in Telenor over the years. And we have not sort of been tempted to go as far in valuations as what we saw as a result in Egypt. I have no comments to sort of your buyback intention. We will take an overall look on this after this summer event is over, of course, with also the requirement to sort of have what is needed available if there should be sort of some events around Russia-Ukraine that we also have to cater for. But we feel that the balance sheet sort of cater for these possibilities and possible events that might come.
So we have a
couple of callers before we wrap up.
Next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question on, I have two questions actually. One is on Thailand. You mentioned in the press release that the regulator NTC has proposed a new and more restrictive, restrictive rules on ownership. On ownership. I was wondering if those rules are acceptable to the patient. And then the other question I had was on the other business units. In particular, the corporate functions, yes, which seems to be producing quite significant EBITDA losses. And I was just wondering what is actually happening in this unit and what we should be expecting going forward.
If I can leave the second part of the question to Tom, I'll approach the entity question. The ownership question in this country was sort of raised after the sale out of Shin Corp. However, that sale has also been confirmed. And as you know, the structure of that transaction is using to a certain extent the same mechanisms that we have under the transaction that we made last year. So we are of the opinion that doesn't change the Telenor position in DTAC. Tom?
When it comes to the corporate charges, it is in effect in second quarter, and we see that as a result of some of the real estate not being let out, as well as in some of the effects of the internal charges. We don't see this quarter's high number of 131 million as the going rate going forward, but it is going to increase from last year, but it's probably a bit on the high side this quarter. But relative to the charges, we're not sending out all of the charges that has been previously done as a result of the changes we did in 2005 of sending out charges to the subsidiaries. So that's part of the issue.
Thank you. Final call, please.
The next is in Oreca. No, it's not there.
Okay, we lost Mr. Nicholson. So that, I think, then concludes the call conference and also the Q&A session. So before we open up for individual interviews, we'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.